Before we partake these elements, I just wanted to read for us from Mark 14, beginning with verse 12. Everything we're doing here is with significance, even down to the timing of our Lord's death. It says, "And the first day of unleavened bread," the week of the Passover, by the Jewish Passover that God ordained, there was to be an entire week of unleavened bread. The houses were to be cleaned from anything that had to do with leaven. But unleavened bread, which we hold in our hand, is flat, nothing fancy about it. It depicts the body of Christ without sin. For any to say that he became sinful is to deny the very essence of the nature of unleavened bread. It's preposterous. But it's in conjunction with the Passover that they killed. Now, the Passover was a picture of Christ. So that's the lamb. But the cup that we hold in our hand is the wine. It represents the blood shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So when we read here, the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, that's when that day began of unleavened bread. Followed through a week later, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sendeth forth two of his disciples. You say, why two? Why couldn't one just go? Well, let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's what we find represented here. Saith unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him." Men didn't carry water in the day. That was the woman's responsibility. So if you saw a man carrying water, that was unusual. But that was to be the sign. "And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house." I truly believe that this was one of the Lord's. Otherwise he wouldn't have called him a good man. A God man, one of God's men of the house, would be the way to understand that. Just like a Jacob or any one of us that God in grace has set his favor upon. "And say to him, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" When the Lord speaks a word, that's all that's necessary. He directs the heart, even though he wasn't there. He was directing the heart of this one to eat this Passover with his disciples. And here's the part I love, verse 15. "He will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." That's a picture of salvation. A room furnished and prepared. Don't even have to bring your own furniture. Prepared. Come and welcome. "And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." I'm not even sure what they did to make ready. Perhaps it was to maybe get the lamb or something. I don't know. Because it was all prepared, furnished. Maybe walked around and saw that, well, looks like everything's ready. Because the Lord's doing this. "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain." This is all a picture of the Lord's doing. "And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." There were 12, but one, again, in God's purpose, he was chosen for one reason, to betray our Lord. That was his role. That's why the Lord brought him into this world, and that's how he took him out. You can argue all you want to with God's sovereignty, but that's what God's purpose would be, his role. "And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? Another said, Is it I?" It's good to question ourselves, ask, am I one of these? Making your calling and election sure, as the scriptures say. "And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12, This just shows that where there's wheat, there's going to be tares. It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. There was a sop there in the old Passover meal that they would dip the bread in and eat. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. God ordains all things, but all the accountability for who we are rests squarely upon our own selves. Judas wasn't in any way thinking otherwise in his mind. That's what happens if God leaves men to their own will and devices to do what they will always work against him. And happily so. He didn't do one thing contrary to what he willed, just like those that crucified our Lord. They did exactly what they wanted to do, but all the while they were accomplishing God's purpose. Now, when you read other portions of Scripture, it was at this point that the Lord said, "Whatever thou doest, do quickly." He got up and left. Judas did not partake in the Lord's table, what we know as the Lord's table, because this is for his redeemed ones. And as verse 22, they did eat. Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now this is the final Passover that he's eaten with his disciples. From here forward, it will be even as what we're doing right now with these elements. Took the bread, break it, take, eat, this is my body. Took the cup when he'd given thanks. He gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament." The New Testament, the old Jewish Passover done away. It was about to be fulfilled in his death. From henceforth, it's called the New Testament, which is shed for many, the many, every one that God the Father gave him. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day, or that day, that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." That day was the day of his resurrection, when he raised again, and for 40 days he went around showing himself unto his own. He wasn't out there trying to get some last minute people saved, like people think. Well, he had 40 days left before he ascended. Let's see if we can get some more in. No, he knew exactly the ones he came to save, and went and revealed himself unto them, and ate and drank with them. And the amazing thing is that he continues to be present with his church even now. He's not physically here, but he is spiritually. He is in these elements. And so as we partake, as he said, "This do in remembrance of me." This is his body. This is his blood that we celebrate. So let's thank him, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for your mercies and grace. Thank you for your Spirit that gives us understanding. Else we would be like the world, just going through a ceremony. But to attribute to what we're doing this meaning of remembering our Lord, remembering his body that was prepared for sacrifice without sin, unleavened bread, and remembering his death, which is represented in this cup. Lord, we bless you. We bless your name. We thank you for giving us these elements. And I thank you that we have this assurance that Christ himself is present where his people are, and he partakes with us in this time of worship. And may it be so, a true time of worship. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.